No longer new, but still all Coleman. We are Coleman's independent radio station. Live 95, WRJMLP, Coleman. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now, it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Metherly.
Welcome back to another edition of Understanding the Law. Triple Threat is in studio. Danielle Big D, and the one and only, the marvelous Melvin Haston, Coleman attorney.
And two little munchkins.
And two little munchkins. They are in studio with us, and they're going to get some fame tonight being live on Facebook, and they are up and rising attorneys pretty soon.
I'm going to talk them out of it.
Are you really?
But they are educated. They're gonna educate us on elementary law and middle school law, I guess.
Awesome.
How it kind of applies in school at Vimont.
So do you know what you want to be? Mm-hmm. Tell me.
A football coach.
Yeah. See, forget the players. He sees where the coaches are making $8 and $10 million a year. So
tell me, what college are you going to coach at?
Probably Texas.
The Texas
Longhorns. I'm a little bit discouraged right now.
Well,
to Alabama.
I know. Well, I think he realizes it's going to be hard to push Nick Saban out.
Look, Nick Saban only has a few more years and he's gone. So, yeah. So, but look, there's nothing wrong with the Texas Longhorns at all because they are bigger in football as Alabama is.
Yes, and he knows that's all where the oil money is and stuff, and they really pay their coaches out there. So.
Very well.
So and he's being smart.
So, I mean, think about that, Melvin. Why don't they pay their coach more than Nick Saban? And they've got the money.
Well, they have before, but you know, I think they probably get themselves in all these buyouts, but it don't matter, man. They got so much money out there, it doesn't matter. So
yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
They just spend it, but... They just can't get the right one for their program, I guess. I don't know.
Well, evidently nobody can right now. There's so many flip-flopping right now. It's unbelievable. I don't know.
Football's a money-making deal. You know, I heard them. They was talking about the Super Bowl tickets, and I was listening to Josh this morning and just the different ones. At one time when they thought Minnesota may have a chance, because it's up in Minneapolis where the Super Bowl is. When they thought Minnesota would have a chance to get in, there was like 50, just to get in ticket was $5,500.
No way.
Yeah. You know, and then I think they went down to $4,500. They said as soon as Minnesota lost, I think there was some on sale for like $3,800. But that's just a getting in, sitting at the top of the nosebleed.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
Even want to be able to see the player's ticket.
Which, you know, and I'm sure it makes sense. It's the Super Bowl.
Yes.
It's not regular season where there was 1,000 people in attendance.
Yeah, but I tell you what, but I know the corporates put big money into it. There's no doubt, and they run college football. They put big money into it, but they're really taking out a big group of fan base. The people they get the biggest money from all these TV deals, and who's watching TV? It's us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like the championship game over in Georgia, $2,000 to get in there is crazy.
Yeah, I'm not paying out.
Let's just keep
it silent. I will watch it on TV. And I hate to say it, Melvin, but some of these SEC games in Tuscaloosa, I'm not going to pay the $500, $600, $700 a ticket. I'm not going to do it, and I will sit home and watch it every time.
Yeah.
So I guess the only thing that I can afford is Georgia Southern. And
Well, I tell you what, we got lucky this year. Alabama, nobody really was it that good until we got down at the last part of the schedule. But, you know, it was blowing everybody out. So, I think we went to the Tennessee game. I think all five of us got in for $120. Yes. I ain't kidding, because the tickets was out there. I gave somebody one ticket, one game. I gave them $20 for two tickets we got in. Yeah, it was just,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, just getting in tickets. And we was all within the same section. It wasn't five together, but was within a few rows of each other. So
oh, that's awesome.
And it's just get in. And, you know, the stadium wasn't even three quarters. Well, maybe it's a little over three quarters away full, but. So you just have to be lucky to get them tickets.
Well, Danielle and I went to the first home game, and I forgot who it was now. That's how bad my memory is. But the stadium was full. I mean, yeah. for it to be
Fresno State.
That's who it was. State, yeah. Yeah, and but the stadium was full. But of course, it's because it was the first home game.
Yes.
And but I don't even think I give much for the tickets though, or even for that one. So. $150, I think, is what I give for two. But it was lower level,
yes,
so it was good seats.
Yeah.
So, man, I hate to see it end. I mean, I just love college football that much. So, I think I seen that they were actually promoting one of the guys, the offensive guys, to offensive coordinator.
So, at Alabama, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they was, you know, they did the countdown, and I think this morning was 221 days to college football kicks off.
So, everybody's fired up already.
221 days, yeah.
So I just don't know. You know, I guess the big controversy is quarterback.
Yes.
So is Jalen Hurts going to start? I don't know.
See how they play out in the spring, you know.
Right.
You know, there was some, I listen to a lot of Fox. I mean, I can't even think of it. Jocks Radio. I'll get it right in a minute. In the mornings. And, yeah, I think there's even some bet lines on who's going to go out first, Jalen and Tua. Yeah. And then, you know, there's someone that even saying possible both of them walk out in the first play. And you just don't know, you know, yeah. So you don't know who's going to be where or what. So.
Did y'all say that Jalen cut his hair?
Yes, Jalen cut his locks.
Looks a lot better.
He does. He's a good looking young man with all that. Yeah, he does. I've seen the pictures of him holding his locks and. He seemed like he was pretty happy with it. Could you imagine washing that much hair?
It'd be crazy, wouldn't it?
Could.
Did they wash it? Did they wash it?
Well,
them?
I guess. Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, the old soap just runs off my old bald head, and I ain't got to worry about it.
There are advantages of being bald.
Yes. I don't have to buy a hair dryer.
You don't have to buy a hair dryer. You're right. That's the key, man. You just dry. I mean, I towel dry mine about 2 seconds, man.
And that's it. You're good?
Yes.
Well, I went in Walmart several months ago and bought a hair dryer, but I bought it for my Yorkie, you know, so. And I bet everybody was thinking, why is that bald guy buying a hair dryer for? That's got to be the stupidest thing I've seen.
Danielle, did you ever use the old hair dryers? They look like a suitcase.
The round ones. Yes, my mom had one of those.
They had a hose.
Yes. Huh? Yes.
You have one, but my question was, did you ever use them as a teenager? Is that not great?
I have a 1940s. Stationary dryer too that's got the cone head and you drop it down and it screws in.
You know, it's like an electric chair. It's like you sit in an electric chair.
The Green Mile.
Yeah, I remember them.
My mom had one.
Yeah, well, I know we had one. It was like a suitcase and had a hose on it, and then it's like one of these little shower caps, something you just put on there. And
yes.
That blew heated air in there. It was great.
It's probably almost like these air fryers that you cook a chicken in now.
Nuts. And you know, when I tell my boy, you know, they need to see stuff like that. And, you know, they need to, I know we've talked about it before, is the rotary dial phones that I hate.
Yes. Your finger get caught sometime in that little piece of metal.
You'd be on like number six, you'd be on the sixth.
You screw it up.
Mess it up. You have to push the hang up button and start all over again.
Start all over.
Could you, and yet, you know, and that, thank God them was just the 7 digits. What if we had to do the area code in there now?
Oh,
right?
Yes.
I tell you what, nobody'd be on the phones, would they?
No, they wouldn't. No, they would not.
It's too frustrating.
Look, when the push button phone came out, that was the biggest thing since Apple Pie.
It was unreal. And we didn't get one till I was like, probably moved out.
And the new age phones are like mad signs.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. Around.
You know, when we had party lines, I think we had over, I grew up in the Gold Ridge Simcoe area, and I think it was like, we may have been a 7 party line. So 7 households that shared one line.
So you pick up the phone and
somebody's talking before you can even use it. He didn't hang it up.
Look, I would snoop, Mel, is what I would do.
You could hear somebody click, and the thing is, you know, you had 7 different families on us, so you don't know who's actually picking the phone up.
How funny is that?
It kind of controlled your conversations with your girlfriend.
Yeah, you didn't say nothing then.
Mom and Daddy
was keeping you. Because back then, Mom and Daddy's used hickory switches on you.
Oh, yeah. And look, but you know, back in the 70s and the early 80s, I can remember, I was always jealous because you could look through the phone book that everybody had one, by the way, and it would say Melvin Hastings, and below it would say Kids Line, and I'm like, why can't I have a line to myself? You know, are we that poor that I can't have my own phone line? But everybody else, their kids had a phone line.
Well, and that's how theirs
was listed. Man, I was always jealous about that. But oh well. That's what you get for growing up poor.
Yes.
Look, I can remember when we first moved to Coleman in 1978, and we got cable TV. What in the world is that? We got cable TV, and I swear it was like $9.99 a month.
See, we didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know that we ever
look
had
at it
cable.
Now.
We always, you know, be freezing to death. You go out there and
twist the antenna.
Twist that stupid antenna so you can watch Smokey and the Bandit for the 67th time.
And you'd probably have to yell at somebody inside the house, how's the reception now?
Yeah, we do it. Yeah, they knock on the window. My mom and dad. I'd be up there twisting the antenna, freezing to death. Mom and dad would be knocking on the window saying, turn it to the right. I would love to take my boys back for like one week to the 70s.
He ain't got a clue, does he?
Oh, Lord. They think we're lying about this stuff.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
He's telling the truth.
So, look, I was, I think I was 10 or 11 years old, and my dad bought me and my brother, because, you know, we were poor, so we had to share Christmas presents, okay? So he bought us the very first video game ever, I guess, Pong. You know what Pong is?
No, but
right. So look, so I'm on one side and my brother's on the other side, and there's a line, and we controlled that line, and there was a little dot.
Yes, we
had to. That was our video, and we played that game. I swear to God, 23 hours a day. So and I bet Melissa probably played Pong herself.
So $10 in 1980 is worth $31.48.
Well, there you go.
Third of it,
Lord. Yeah. It was. It's
1980. $10 is equivalent to $31.48 now.
Well, there you go. Because I remember it very well. You know, our cable bill being $9.95, and our neighbors, like, they had money. You know, that they'd paid up for a year. Well, heck, we couldn't do that. We squeezed by to get that $9.95 per month.
You know. What I would remember is going out there and turning an antenna and then drive down the road and see these neighbors with these humongous UFOs.
Yes.
Like
huge.
Humongous.
You thought you were at the CNN studios when you looked at people's backyards. And as a matter of fact, I took mine down about 4 years ago because I had one.
You had one?
Yes. What a mess that was. And just think if you were a satellite installer back in the 80s and you had to install that.
Because yeah,
I mean,
that was for each person. I mean, that was just a one person deal, wasn't it? Yeah, for one household.
Oh yeah.
Well, how much did it cost to get that? Did they charge you to put that out there?
Oh yeah, and I think it was several hundred bucks too at that time.
Oh Lord.
Yes. And to think now how technology is.
Yeah.
A little bitty dish now.
They just stick on side of your house.
Whew! How technology has grown, man. But I tell you what, the simpler life back then was a whole lot better, Melvin.
Probably a lot less. It's definitely a lot less stressful.
Oh yeah, it was. Nobody knew what a cell phone was. I mean, it was just crazy. But you know, back then, Melvin, we had a CB radio in our house, and look, we had a big one, you know, and a big old microphone that you squeeze, and like we talked to all of our neighbors within, you know, 8 or 10 miles. Yeah.
See, we had one in a vehicle. We never had one in the house.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Now we did have our place scanner.
Oh, we had one. We had one, and my poor mother listened to that thing 24 hours a day.
You keep up what's going on in the county.
Yes, and Yeah, because I think there was one that you could, a button you flip for fire, another button that you'd flip for police or something.
They had like
something.
10 or 12 different ways you could program. I can't remember how it was, how you had to program that thing in. Then they got digital, but man, they was real. The ones we had was like from the 50s probably.
Yeah, they were analog, so we were
analog
and digital.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love it. Stuff we miss.
We may not have brought you law, but we brought you a good history lesson.
Yes.
For the first 20 minutes of the show.
A lot of law is dealing with history. So
yeah, that's true. So I guess, I mean, just current events, Melvin, that I've seen today, somebody went on a shooting spree at a high school in Kentucky.
In Kentucky, yeah. It said it was a 15-year-old, and apparently he shot a 15-year-old girl and a 15-year-old boy that died there, and they said there was like 17 or 19 other people that was wounded, I think.
So did this kid start shooting or something?
Said it went to the atrium before the school started. I just read it. And just started shooting people. I don't know if they got a reason why. It's just nuts.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Teachers are going to have to pack. You know.
Teachers have got to start packing.
You're right. Somebody does. And what's going, I mean, because, well, when you have tougher gun laws, what's that going to do? He's going to get, we have pretty tough laws now on a lot of things. Right. That people still, dope, whatever. I mean, they're still going to get the drugs and stuff, but it's not going to fix that problem. That's a soft target. He knows it's a soft target. He knows he can get by with it in there. If he would have had to think, you know what, I may get my tail shot before I make it in there once I pull that gun because I'll have about 15 teachers pulling guns on me, he probably would be a pretty good deterrent.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
I seen last night on Facebook a Hanceville police officer, I guess, got rammed. Did he not?
No.
I just seen the picture of the car, and it was horrible.
Yeah, he hit an 18-wheeler. I read about that.
Oh, really?
It's a crazy story. Supposedly they had court Monday night. They have court on Monday nights at Hanceville. So there were some people that were getting released. This is what the story says. There were people getting released from jail after court. So they've been in jail, probably people that missed court, FTAs, period to peers and stuff. So the judge had entered orders for these people to be released. Well, he kind of just fit right amongst them people and snuck right out with them. Well, then these cops seen him and realized, uh-oh, that guy's still got a Hanceville City jail jumpsuit on. So they went to go get him and crashed into an 18-wheeler there on 91 and 31. So
that guy jumped in a car or something?
No, it's probably a little adrenaline rush.
Or did he start running?
I don't know, but it appears that the cops just took off after him. And the next thing you know, there's an 18-wheeler there, and they eat it.
They literally eat it.
So they hit the 18-wheeler.
Yeah, he hit the 18-wheeler.
But it's fine.
Oh, my.
It's fine. Or broken bones and a concussion.
Hey, yeah.
But it's fine.
Oh, good. Yeah. He's good then.
So, you know, were they going through a red light, a truck hit them? You know what I'm saying? Was the truck coming and they just met the truck? You know, who knows what happens? It happens fast.
I know. And, you know, and that's one of the biggest topics that you'll see now about police being in pursuit. Everybody says, you know, maybe they should stop the pursuit at some point. Yeah.
You have to be real careful.
You do. High speed chases will kill innocent people. There's no doubt. On the flip side, Melvin, I really believe that some of these people need to be caught.
Oh, they definitely need to be caught. You just have to be smart about how you
do. There you go. Exactly. You're listening to Coleman Attorney Melvin Haston right here on Understanding the Law. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof. When a disaster occurs, neighbors and community organizations want to reach out and help. But this isn't always easy. That's where your local Cullman County VOAD can help. VOAD stands for Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. Your Cullman County VOAD serves to coordinate relief efforts throughout the county during times of crisis to ensure no area or family is left unassisted. But to do this, the Cullman County VOAD needs your help. Whether you're an individual, faith-based group, civic organization, or business, your Cullman County VOAD needs your help. To learn how you can be a part of the Cullman County VOAD, call the Cullman County EMA at 739-5410. 739-5410. Email CullmanCountyVOAD@gmail.com or search Cullman County VOAD on Facebook. Your Cullman County VOAD is volunteer organizations active in disaster.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Cullman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Cullman area and most Cullman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Cullman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Are you looking for an attorney? Call Melvin Hastings in Cullman. Call me, Alabama. Look, all we need is about 400 billboards with your picture on it, Melvin.
And I'll be half of what he's got going.
Yes.
But I tell you what, the Wettermark Keith, they're putting a bunch of them up.
Yes, they are. I see them.
They've learned from
them. I actually see them on TV more. I mean,
called Robert Norris.
Robert Norris.
Yes.
Now, there's so many of them. But you know what? TV's not that bad if you get some spots at night. I mean, that's cheap. It really is.
Call Goldberg.
800-600-6014.
I've heard it so much, I know it. I memorized it. 800-600-6014. Call Goldberg. Been injured in an auto accident? Call Goldberg. 800-600-6014.
I guess the only thing that I don't like is the commercials that wear out the 18-wheelers, the truck drivers.
Man. I tell you, Alex has got a bad one.
Let me tell you something, okay? Let me just be honest. That pisses me off.
It is aggravating.
Because if you didn't have truck drivers, you wouldn't have anything in any stores, and you wouldn't have no food.
Yeah. Yeah, he starts that commercial off pretty bad, and he says, monsters are real. 18-ton monsters driving down the highway, or 18,000-pound monsters coming down the highway. That is a bad... What's that now?
I think people are ignorant about truck drivers. They don't realize that the federal government has regulated the time that they spend.
Yeah, they really control them. I think they're all electronic now. There's no paper logs, none whatsoever. Everything is electronic.
The old logbook's gone.
Logbook's gone. The cheating's gone.
You can't cheat no more.
Can't cheat it.
Your dad went to school with Robert Norris, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, I have a lot of my schoolmates call me too.
Melvin, do you have a lot that'll say, hey, look, Melvin, I need a favor.
All the time.
It wasn't my fault, Melvin. Okay. Yes. Well, let me just get this straight, but I think I need your help.
I need a favor. Yeah. I need need to ask you something. I hate what's great is when you're sitting there eating, man, I know you're eating, I hate bothering you.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't. You must not hate bother me, because you sure are.
So does it happen very often when you
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So y'all just give them your cards. They call me.
Yeah.
Here, you know what? Call me tomorrow.
I haven't had a card in 6 months because I keep forgetting to go get some printed up. That's crazy.
Well, look, I'll help you out.
I'll help you out. People all the time say, give me a card, and I have to write, I tear off a piece of paper and write my phone number on it.
Called Mr. Print.
It's embarrassing, but.
$15, 1,000 cards.
They do. And the other thing is the weekend stuff. If they call you Friday or Saturday, I got to talk to you, it's emergency, and I'm thinking, you know what? There's nothing that I can do.
If you're in jail.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do on Friday, Saturday, exactly. Sunday. You know what I'm saying? We can't. We don't have any access to get anything done. You have to do it during the week, you know. Right. And so
if you're arrested on the weekend, you're staying. Basically.
Yeah, unless you bond out. You know what I'm saying? Because there's no judges, there's nothing to get anything done.
All right, so before we get into the discussion of things that I'm going to ask you, why is it that some people can bail themselves out? Explain that to me.
Well, I really don't have a good straight answer because I get different answers, but technically the sheriff has... In Alabama, under the rules of criminal procedure, I don't think it's not in the statute that I know of. It's in the rules of criminal procedure. There is a bail bond schedule, and it's kind of a recommendation. It's not a hard set. So they'll say, like, for a Class C felony, which is the lowest, no, actually a D felony is the lowest one, but a Class C felony is stuff like maybe burglary or, so some of the more minor felony stuff, theft, second, you know, which is value stuff, forgeries and stuff like that. I think it used to be 3 to 10,000 for the range of bail bonds. It may have went up to 5 to 10 or 15 or whatever else, but they've got ranges of bail bonds. So what happens is when you get arrested, the investigator or the deputy or whoever, someone, that'd be some question we need to ask Matt who makes that decision, but I don't know what his answer is. Because we was in federal court on this, but anyway, they'll kind of say, all right, here's the bail bond, and a lot of it depends on the person, the crime. I mean, they put a lot into it.
For instance,
all right, let's say this is probably true too. Let's say Daryl gets charged with forgery. All right, they'll probably set you a $3,000 bail bond, so it's reasonable you can make it. Bill right. Hasty gets charged with forgery. Probably is a $10,000. But it does. I mean, it does ply on people because most of these officers, and really what happens out here, they're career criminals out here. There are people that just, exactly. they just cycle through the system all the time continuously. So I wouldn't dare say 75% of the people they arrest every day is someone they've arrested before.
Right.
So they've been known this person's a criminal. It may even have pending charges, whatever else. So that person may not get a $3,000 bond. They may set it at 5, 6, or 7, gotcha. Whatever else. So they do it. But they usually, but if you ask the sheriff, I think he'll say that the magistrate sets the bond. So what happens is you get arrested on Friday night, Monday, they file the complaint in the court system, and then the magistrate will set the bond.
Okay.
They may call the – sometimes they may call the judges. Sometimes they may call Lisa McSwain or the magistrates and say, what, we set the bond at or whatever else, and they do it. Misdemeanors is always like $1,000 or less or whatever else. So they'll set bonds, and, you know, and these people have an opportunity to get out. And like, for instance, let's get on this bonds because this is kind of important. I have people – now, the bail bondsman ain't going to like me telling you this, but the two different ways you can bond out on property bonds is you can have someone or some people, depending on how much the property bond is, to come and sign your bond papers at the jail, and all they're doing is guaranteeing that you're going to be in court, and they're putting their property up as collateral.
Right, exactly.
So that's a risky transaction, yeah. Definitely a risky transaction.
I've done it one time.
Yeah, it's a risky transaction to do that stuff, and if you, yeah, no matter which bond you get, you have to pay the $35 up front. That's just another way for the state to get more money out of you. So you pay $35 to get bonded, And then people put their property up, and if you don't show up for court, the judge enters a forfeiture against you, against those bonds. So those people signed your bond, they'll get some notice from court as a conditional forfeiture. Say, look, you know, you signed a $10,000 property bond. We're going to collect it off of your property. It's $10,000 because this person didn't show up for court. You got 28 days once you get that letter. You got 28 days once you see that notice to say, look, judge, set that aside. You need to go pick the guy up. And I mean, if I'm on your bond and you don't show up for court, I can go pick you up and bring in and take you to the sheriff and say, here he is, and surrender you to the sheriff. You got to file something with the court to let them know it, because this is a civil proceeding. You got to let them know it. It's called a 28-day letter. You let them know, hey, I've picked this person up. They're in jail, whatever else. And the judge will set aside that judgment, because remember, the reason you signed the bond is you're assuring him that they're coming to court. And then that person has to get somebody else to bond them out. Now, what happens with that? So that's one way, is you sign your property. The other way is that a bail bondsman comes in there and you pay him a percentage, and they'll sign your bond for you. And that percentage that you pay is usually like 10%. So like on a $10,000 bond, you'll pay them $1,000. Well, you don't get that money back because you go to court. That you're paying them
right
to do collateral, okay. You know, and that if you don't show up for court in that instance, that bail bondsman will get a conditional forfeiture. They're going to go get a bondsman process. They're going to go to court and say, look, give me a warrant so I can go arrest this person. That's what a fugitive recovery agent or whatever they want to call themselves. That's what they do. They go out and get these people's bail jumping. That's what they call it, bail jumpers. So they'll go get them, bring them in so that they don't have to pay that money. Because if you don't show up for court, then that $10,000 bond that bail bondsman signed, he's going to be forking out $10,000. Yeah.
That's almost a risky deal.
It is a gamble. So what do you have to do to be a good bail bondsman, to be a money-making bail bondsman, is you got to have a good relationship with criminals. Because these criminals associate with each other. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you got Ricky Joe over here that just skipped bond on you. So what do? You go over here and talk to Johnny over here and say, right, where's Ricky at? I got to get him and all this stuff. You work out a little deal, get Ricky set up and pick him up, take him in. So you can save yourself from $10,000 because, I know I've represented bonding companies that's had to pay $10,000, $15,000, $20,000.
Wow.
Hey, one bonding company had $1 million forfeiture against them. Yeah, so you're out of business. You're done. You're done. Yeah, and here we go with the illegals. That's what it was. He had a semi-good defense. He bonded out $1 million. I don't know how much he got paid. Not enough, I can tell you that. For someone getting out, I don't know if he probably had a drug charge or whatever else. I think this person got deported. Yeah, so the feds picked him up. He got deported and sent to Mexico. So you can't go to Mexico and get him. They're not going to allow you to go. I mean, can, but
yeah,
probably
happen.
Risking your life to do
you
it.
You are.
So they set a $1 million bond. I believe this person was eventually later brought back and turned over the custody. This person, this bondsman may have went and got him, I don't know. But he didn't do it within that time period. And the judge kept the judgment final. Yeah, so, man, it is risky, you know. It's tough, too, because people don't have money, you know. And, it's hard sometimes to get a $10,000 bond. It's hard to go get $1,000 to
right.
To get a bondsman. You know, have to get your buddies and everybody kind of pitch you in the money and hope to go to court.
When you do a tour, because you're going to go on a tour of the jail very soon, Melvin will tell you, because he goes back to the back. And he has been back to the back. Every attorney that is an appointed attorney and every bail bondsman is posted on the wall.
It's on there, yep.
Wow.
So risky business. It is a risky business, and you know, they a lot of them help them out, get them, you know, they'll say, hey, give me $300 or $400 or $500 of it, then pay me the rest of the payments and stuff. And they'll take your picture and keep up with you, and, you know, they want you checking with them every week and everything else, because, you know, you got to pay them their money. They're putting their risk, and it's a business for them. They're risking stuff. So how do you prevent all that stuff? Don't commit a crime.
That's it. Don't commit a crime.
Don't put yourself in that situation.
I would just hope that me as a man, I could put the fear of God in that man.
Yeah.
Oh, don't let Daryl come chase me.
Yeah. But I imagine, that ain't gonna happen. I imagine a few of these fugitives gets seen up a little bit.
Don't you know that? Don't you know that?
Especially if I had $25,000 on the line and this guy only paid me $500, didn't pay me all my money.
Yes.
I'd take $2,000 out of hide.
And you know, and I know it's theatrics. Maybe if you want to call it theatrics, I don't know. But, you know, just the little bit of time that I'd watch Dog the Bounty Hunter. Yep. And they're putting on their police belts with their tear gas on it, yep. You know, because they can't have guns and they got their badges and their gloves and they look like boxers or something. And I mean, what are you going to do? All you can do is spray your mace and that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you know, and boy, that's dangerous because a lot of these, I mean, there are definitely intentional murders where there's people plan stuff and do things, but you know, a lot of murders happens because somebody just gets antsy. They right. get scared, make stupid decisions. You know, they don't want to go to jail. The bondsman's there to pick them up, you know, and they think, why did I shoot him?
Yeah.
And go on, and it gets, luckily at that stuff, I don't think it's happened in Coleman, but.
It's almost like being somebody that's going to go repo a car. Yeah. I mean, really?
It is
ooh,
dangerous.
That's dangerous. There's been more people killed that way.
Oh, yeah.
Coleman works with bail bondsmen a lot.
Yeah.
He has to deal with them directly, sometimes daily.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, I'll have them call me and say, hey, well, that, you know, they, if I go to court, most time they know the people, but sometimes they're coming in and say, hey, what is this? Give me what the guy looks like. And I'll be like, I can't mean what he looks like either. But we'll, you know, we'll try to point them out. He wants to make sure they in court or they in court where they're at and then stuff. So it is, it is a business.
So speaking of court, how's court in Coleman?
I think it's fine. This week is civil non-jury week. I was trying to think what Judge Nicholas was trying. I talked to Williams, and she had a pro se workers' comp case. So what does that mean? she told me a little bit about it, not very much, nothing about the facts, just a little bit about the parties. So this is a person that was injured on the job or claimed they filed a lawsuit against their employer saying they was injured on the job. She said they did have a lawyer at one time, and then now they don't. So this person is handling a workers' comp trial in front of a judge by themselves against a company with lawyers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's tough. It's not a jury trial. It's a non-jury trial. So, you know, they may be educated enough.
I would hope.
You know, there's a few things you got to prove in it, but it's stacked against you, man. It's hard to do any of these cases. Because there's so much, so I'm the person that's injured, and I'm sitting, even as a lawyer, I'm the person that's injured, and I'm sitting there. How am I going to legally, through the rules of evidence, get everything in I want to tell the judge?
Right.
You got to call witnesses and do that stuff. So if this person don't call witnesses, you know, a lot of stuff don't get in. You got to know how to get the medical records in. You know, you got to know how to get pay records and stuff like that in. There's certain elements you got to prove that you was on the job, that you was in the line of scope of your employment, you know, how much money you was earning. And, you got to make a relation between the injury and the what happened, you know, it's this within the line of scope of your work. So a lot of times you got to have medical experts testify. Somebody mm-hmm. have to call doctors testify. Usually what we do in these comp cases is a lot of them get settled, but if you go into a point of trial, you go take the deposition of a doctor and then you submit that into evidence. And there's a process. There's a way you got to do it. And if you don't know how to do it, the other side just objects to it. And sometimes judges give pro se people more leeway, and they should. It's being
exactly.
more fair about it. But, I mean, if they're strict on the rules and you don't do it, they'll just sustain objection. You can't get stuff in. You can't get your evidence in. You ain't going to win your case.
So, in other words, if you're not a smooth talker like Blake West, Coleman attorney, you're screwed.
You're tough. It's a tough deal. And it may be even tough with him. I'm going to tell you, man, I've done quite a few of them, but man, it's not easy just going up there and trying to present a case in front of a judge or a jury.
I can imagine.
It's a little tough.
I mean, I can't even imagine what all it entails of the knowledge that you need on every single angle that you need to cover.
Yes. And just getting them to that point, you know, because a lot of cases get thrown out just because, you know, it's called summary judgment. They're saying, hey, there's no legal way this case can go to a final judgment, man, and just get through that fight. It's a fight.
Right.
It's tough.
Workman comp case.
Workman's comp case.
Called Melvin Hastings.
It's not a lot of money in it. You
know, well, don't call Melvin. You just don't want no money.
I like doing them.
If you got a DUI, call Melvin. You're listening to Understanding the Law with Coleman attorney Marvelous Melvin Hastings. So we'll be back in just a moment.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of silver sneakers and silver fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today. Or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's Independent Radio.
The third annual Coleman EMS 911 Chili Cook-Off benefiting Saving Forgotten Warriors is coming up Saturday, February 10th from 11 until 4. This event is a time where those who serve our community can come together for friendly competition and meet the people of the community that they serve. Registration fee is only $10 and open to all law enforcement, firefighters, EMS personnel, and dispatchers. Everyone is welcome to attend and vote for your favorite chili. It's the third annual Coleman EMS 911 Chili Cook-Off, benefiting Saving Forgotten Warriors, Saturday, February 10th from 11 until 4. To register or for more information, call 256-595-4135. 256-595-4135. Don't miss the third annual Coleman EMS 911 Chili Cook-Off benefiting Saving Forgotten Warriors, Saturday, February 10th from 11 until 4.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's Independent Radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
All right, I've been getting educated on basketball because, look, I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about it, okay? So, look, as young as you are, because you're not old like me and Dad, do you know who Michael Jordan is? You do? Do you know who he played for? Mm-mm. All right. Well, look, at least you know him. That's you.
Ask him who plays on the Golden State Warriors. He probably tell you about plays on
Golden State Warriors. Do you know the players?
Kobe, Thompson, Grant, Draymond Green, and...
That's incredible.
Yeah, I know that. He loves Curry. He loves Durant. He got him a Durant jersey for Kevin Durant jersey for Christmas.
But look, here is the most important question that I have to ask you. Do you enjoy getting made up like Kiss with Dad. And tell me, the last time that you got made up, who were you?
I was Kiss.
Gene Simmons, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gene Simmons.
So, look, I bet.
Little Gene.
I'm just taking a guess that you probably had so many girls wanting to get their picture made with you as you dressed up.
He was a popular guy.
I bet he was
the coolest one, yeah. And he made a real good, he made a good Gene Simmons. And then Spencer does a, he always makes a good Paul Stanley. It just fits, I guess it's a personality. I know him, so fits her.
So Spencer, did you enjoy all that fame that you had there for a while?
Too many pictures?
Yeah, he acts like he don't enjoy it.
My you wife is,
they love it. They
yes.
It is fun.
That would be
like 15 minutes of fame.
Yes. So while y'all were at the concert, did you just have lots of people walk up to you and want
pictures?
Constantly.
Yeah, we could. Once we got in this, usually it's outside, but we went to Chicago open air concert. So that's first opportunity to go to Chicago. It was a neat little
right.
city. So by the time we got over there, it was an all day concert, so a lot of people was inside. So there wasn't many out there. So there's a few people that took our pictures, not that much. So, and usually you're going to just like a Kiss concert and everybody outside is getting a picture. So we got in, went up the stairs, and people was seeing us and saying stuff. But once we get out there in the crowd, man, it was on then. I mean, it was
everybody.
Everybody's taking the pictures. They was doing it and they was loving it. Everybody jumping in and photobombing and getting involved. You know, they that's what's crazy. So somebody's taking a picture of us, and these other people want to get their picture of a stranger.
Right.
So a stranger's taking a picture, and somebody else is jumping in here, getting their picture made with us. It's just nuts. I don't tell what all is doing. Probably putting bunny ears by.
Oh, yeah.
On top of our heads. But
so, Spencer, did you have any idea time your pictures was shared on social media? It was crazy, I bet.
Yeah. They ought to go viral. They are cool.
Yes.
It is cool. You just don't see them. I mean, we've been, what, three or four of them, and we've never seen just the whole family. I mean,
right.
A lot of times
you'll
see two of them.
Right.
You may see a husband and a wife or boyfriend, girlfriend, couple, whatever else, and that's about it. And a lot of times they just got their face painted. They don't have the whole, they ain't all out.
Well,
like they are, so
the haste, they all out, baby. Out. I'm talking shoes, suit, everything. No, I'm sorry. Personal makeup artist at that.
Yeah, we get our own personal makeup artist. We just Google who does makeup in that city, and they meet us at the hotel and do it. And they love it.
Let me ask you, were they really spot on? Just
oh, yeah,
doing
they were
right
perfect.
Then?
It's unbelievable, yeah. And let me see, this last lady, what did we pay her? Did we pay her 150? I don't know if I paid her 150, but usually it's 100, 120, 125 bucks, and I'll give them some extra, so maybe 150 bucks. But now they're painting four or five people, so that's
right.
It's a 2 hour, 2.5 hour ordeal to paint.
Really?
This. Yes, it's a big deal. So, I mean, they'll have a seat in a chair, and every one of them, they take a paintbrush, man, and they love it. They go to work.
Wow.
Yep.
I need to do that. I want to hire somebody to do my face.
It is cool. The first time we had it done, they do oil based and water based makeup. I think me and my wife had we did the first time we went to a Halloween party, and we did the oil based one, and now it was caked on us.
Oh, really?
So your face, you could feel it just squinching down as tightening up as it was on there. But it to me it looked the best. The water based don't seem to do as good. It may be vice versa, because one time I guess we did a water base one time, and I sweated, so it run a little bit.
Yeah.
You gotta, you
which
know,
is what you don't want.
What we don't want. don't want no crazy looking. Like, I wonder if I got Gene Simmons come out like a Alice Cooper.
Yes.
With the running behind him.
Gene Simmons on crack.
And no matter how much you wash your face, you can't get it off. I mean, me and Brody had the black around our eyes. It's just a little bit around where the eyelashes are, probably 2 or 3 days. I mean, we look like Motley Crue then, you know, when they put the makeup on.
Oh,
but it's fun.
I can imagine. Sorry, I didn't mean to get stumbled off the Kiss, but I couldn't help it.
It's fun, yeah.
Yes,
it is neat. They better remember this when I get.
Yes, home. They better.
When it's time for us to go to nursing home and stuff, they better remember how good we treated them.
Exactly.
Not throw us away.
Yes.
Throw us to the wolves.
Take care of mom and daddy.
Yeah, take care
always.
Of mom and daddy.
Mm. No. So have you been in any other areas around Coleman doing court?
Yeah, well, yeah, day's been a little, this week's been a little crazy because I went to Jefferson County. That was a, that's a dependency case, which we talked about. That's a DHR case where, with children are with a relative with their grandparents, and this is the mom trying to do what she has to do to get everything straightened up, get them back. So that was yesterday, and they come to Coleman, and we did felony docket yesterday, resolved a couple of cases. That was like Judge Cheney as district court. If you can plead to a misdemeanor, you plead to a misdemeanor. Some of them you work out deals where you plead to some kind of felonies, and then Cheney will take the pleas later on.
So let me ask you this, Melvin. Is it very often that you have a lot of clients from outside of Coleman, which makes you go to Jefferson County or Blount County?
Yeah, they do, and a lot of it's referrals. See, that's why I go back to these workers' comp. And I don't know the situation about this particular case. I don't know why this person doesn't have a lawyer. Sometimes they just feel like they don't like what the lawyer's saying to them. Some people, you know, and that's the prerogative. They don't have to have a lawyer go to trial. You need one. But, you know, I have had people try to handle some of their own workers' comp cases, and, they try to come in and get me, hey, how much money? So want me tell them how to negotiate their deal, whatever else. And there's a lot to it that I tell them, but I always remind people, It's 15. The lawyer's fees is set up by statute. It's 15% of what you get. All right. So if somebody gets $10,000, and there's not a lot of people that gets more than $10,000. There's a lot of people gets a lot less than $10,000 workers' comp cases because it's based on your wages and it's based on a permanent injury. You know, you may not have a permanent injury.
Exactly.
So on a $10,000 case, my payday is $1,500. Well. Hey, when I was working at the ambulance service, I'd be like, heck, I'd love to have a $1,500 payday. That $1,500 payday for me usually takes 6 months to make, no telling how many hours, how many phone calls, how many visits, how many negotiations. So when you break it down,
it's minimum wage.
Yes, minimum wage.
Or less.
Yeah. I'm thinking, what am I doing here? But those type of cases, even though I don't make a lot of money on those type of cases, and what I mean by that, I want to tell somebody this. To run my law office, Lord, I'm going to say almost $4,000. I've got to get $4,000 a month in my office just to keep my office going. That ain't even breaking it. That ain't giving me a dime.
Right.
That's just to pay my help, pay my rent, pay everything else. It's probably $4,000, $4,500. So, you know, $50,000 is an average. Probably an average payday. I mean, average yearly thing around. I would think around Alabama.
Right.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good payday. Well, $50,000 to me ain't nothing.
Right.
Because all that does is just operate my office. You know.
Right.
So if I want to make $50,000, I've got to make $100,000 or $150,000 to even get in that $50,000, $60,000, $75,000 range.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So, and it takes a lot of clients. Like, so let me get back to this. So, this person I represented in Jefferson County, this mom, it has a relationship with one of my other clients that I represented in probably a divorce case or something like it that I helped out. And they said, hey, I got a lawyer. He's a good guy. And,
right.
You know, I get it. So that's how I get referrals out of it. This person lived in Blount County. And
right.
That's why I got it.
Okay.
You know, sometimes people, I had a case today in Blount County. And that person is from Coleman, got in trouble right over in Blount County line, and then I go over in Blount County and handle it. I don't know how I got connected with her. I don't know what the connection is, but it's just networking. You know, I do a lot of like I said, if you do stuff, you're not making a lot of money. You know, a lot of times they bring you other clients in, bring you in stuff that makes you a little bit of money.
All right, so.
And that helps every long. Because I'm going to tell you, I was surprised. I do have a lot of people that comments that they've heard me or,
awesome.
Or whatever.
That's
else, yeah.
Incredible. I love that.
Heard me,
so, you know, I guess I'll be funny, but I'm not going to be funny in a way. Because if I'm an attorney and I need my lights paid, you know what I'm going to say? Somebody break the law.
Yeah, it is crazy.
And do it now.
Yeah. And have money.
I got to pay. Yeah.
Need to do it around February, March when tax money comes in.
Get that extra $10 lipstick at Belk. So
yeah, you know what? You know that being a business owner, that's what scared me about the government shutdown. When they started talking about the IRS and tax refunds, I thought, no, we can't have that. Yeah, we can't have that because. You do, man. In February, March, and April, man, you'll have a spike in because people's got their money. They'll come see you to get things done.
Right.
So you're really really busy. It's crazy. It's I'd like to spend some time and see like divorce filings. I bet it's unreal. They love them up February, March because everybody gets their tax money back. I ain't kidding. In modifications and stuff like that. I mean, I have people all the time that's. You know, things that's happening with their custody case or their child support case or just whatever. And they're like, look, I'm getting my taxes in here. I'm going to come pay you then. And that do this makes and sense. Do that. So, and they do, man. Them people load up. They come in.
I guess the wife just finally says, you know what? I've put up with you long enough. And now I've got my income tax check.
I got our income. I got our
hour income tax check. That I'm going to spend.
Yeah.
To Melbourne. And you're going. No more. Melbourne's going.
No, but I don't take advantage of them. I mean, it's nice because you get paid up front because a lot of times when I do stuff for people, you know, they'll pay me some and then they'll just come in and pay me each week, a month. Hey, which I don't mind. Like today I had like $5-6 in my pocket. I didn't want to go to ATM. And I was thinking, somebody please bring me a $20 payment today so I can go
eat lunch.
I need to eat lunch.
I'm going to visit the cafe.
Yeah, so every once in a while, that's nice, you know. Yeah. Hey, I got one guy I've represented. This old guy, I got him out of a bunch of trouble. He, this has been about 3 years. Every single month, I get $25. Because he owes me that money, you know what I'm saying? And I'm talking about he ain't missed a month for 3 years.
Really? Yeah,
he gives me that $25 a month. So I always look for that $25. He is a good guy.
You always get
that. But he does it. But, you know, unfortunately, he doesn't make up for all the other ones that still see.
Right.
You know, when I get out of jail, I get you that money.
Yeah.
I got money coming in when I get out of jail. Yeah, I've heard that before. I just hang up when I hear that now because I got burnt by a girl last year. Boy, this eats me alive. I mean, I helped her out, get out of jail. So she didn't. She appreciates me so much. She never seen me or called me since.
Exactly. Quick question before we go. How many? And this is a hypothetical question. How many bank robbers out there do you think that actually got away for a little bit that has actually buried money?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. do you think that could even be true? I bet it's happened.
Probably. I wonder how much, and you could probably, I mean, the FBI, they keep there's a crime database thing they got. So I guess if you know how to get the information, but I wonder what the average is, how much people get away with when they do bank robberies.
I guarantee 3,000 to 6,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you got 3 or 4 people that's putting their life and everybody else's life on the line.
Yeah.
For $3,000 or $5,000, you ain't gonna get a ton of money.
But wouldn't you think that they would have them little blue blow up things right there and throw them in the bag?
Yeah.
Boy, wouldn't that make you mad as a bank robber and that thing blows up and you got blue dial over you and the money's no good?
No, yeah.
That's horrible.
That's why you don't go rob a bank. And the other thing is you end up on TV and on all these because everybody's got, I mean, there's cameras and stuff everywhere. You're going to end up everywhere.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Yeah, you're going
to
get caught.
Thanks for listening to Understanding the Law. You can catch us Thursday night, the Beginning Radio Show, 6:30 p.m. And, you'll find out who the guest is as soon as you tune in. Catch us again next Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Understanding the Law with Triple Threat. God bless you, and most importantly, God bless America.
Providing Coleman with a unique blend of music. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Coleman.